Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back from the weekend. It's the Stochastic.com MLB Strategy Show. Dave Locker and Matt Bellman. A little six-game action today. Man, we've had a lot of these 6 p.m. games that just, like, wipe half a slate off. Tomorrow's the same way. I think there's, like, 6 of them tomorrow. But that's fine. Still got a lot of baseball today. Got 2 second round 2 basketball games as well. Denver Nuggets in an 0-1 hole here. Anthony Edwards dropping the 43 spot on him last time. Whatever, it's a baseball show, but it's a good time of year. And I just watched some of the Tom Brady roast on Netflix. I didn't have time to watch it. I had to do a video. I wanted to eat. I made myself a delicious omelet. And as I was doing so, I saw some clips of Tony Hinchcliffe. I don't know if you know who he is. He's great, though. Kill Tony is a great show. Great podcast, live podcast, bucket pulls, 60 seconds, whatever. You should watch it. Matt, let me tell you something. He killed this roast harder than I've ever seen anybody kill a roast in my life. To the point where Kevin Hart could not compose himself. These guys were losing it. You got to watch this. I'm going to go back and watch the whole roast. I heard it was really good. Josh said Nikki Glaser was good and a few others were great. But I don't know if you're into comedy. I am. This seems like we're back.
I am into comedy. I don't think as much as you, but I do know who Tony Hinchcliffe is, actually from my neck of the woods, about an hour away from me. So I am familiar. I have not seen the roast yet. I plan on it. I just, kind of like you, I want to watch it when I can focus on it and actually not be distracted by other shit. So maybe tonight, sometime this week, probably.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get into it too. The full thing. It's like 2+ hours long.
Oh, wow. Oh, is that long?
It's pretty long. Let me see. I think it's over 2 hours. It is 3 hours. 3 hours. It's long. But Josh watched the whole thing yesterday, said it was great. So Tolga 10x'd my bankroll this weekend on NBA. Keep the streak rolling. Hell yeah, dude. And yeah, SportsWiz, those jokes were wild. I mean, Tony had some insane jokes. But watch it. Let me know what you guys think. I think you're like, even if you're not huge fans of comedy, when you do these roast right and people aren't afraid to say things, clearly they weren't. None of them. It was really good. But we got 6 games to talk about. We got the Sims run. We hit the lineup generator. Look at the top stacks, top pitchers, tool, ownership, all that stuff as usual. And I'll tell you what, a few good pitchers on this slate, man. A few other spots that we're going to get deep into the weeds with. Some that, I mean, I can't wait to get your thoughts on Walker Buehler making his first start in like 2 calendar years, but he did throw 80 some pitches 2 starts ago at the minors, went 5 last time out. So we'll see. But Luis Castillo, Cole Reagan's at the top. He's a stud. We'll talk about it. But first things first, if you don't mind coming back from the weekend, atone for your sins, my friends. Hit that thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, and leave a comment down below. Subtle reminder if you walked in and forgot. I get it. We have busy lives. But we read the comments if you're watching after the fact. All that stuff goes a long way. And if you ever want to listen or listen in podcast form and not on YouTube, go for it. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever podcasts are available. We got you covered. All right. Let's go. Yes, Sotex. Good to see you, brother. Nice to see you in here. I can't wait for football, man. Like, I love talking baseball. I do. But now that the draft is over and, like, Underdog already has the, you know, $15 million in prize pools for best ball, and DraftKings is matching them this year with a huge, huge best ball contest and a ton of others. I tell you what, man, We're almost there, Matt. Once you get into the late summer, you really start to feel it. You know, guys start tearing their ACLs in training camp, right? And things start looking up. But I know you're not huge into it. I'm going to get you into some best ball this year.
And man, I don't know if it's like this by where you are, but certainly in Cleveland, I mean, it's all Browns all the time. Like, certainly we like, well, people here like the Cavs. They like the Guardians a lot. I'm a much bigger baseball fan than most people, though. It's all about the Browns out here. I mean, it's a Browns town. People like to like ask questions like, what would mean more, LeBron's title or the Browns winning? Like, it doesn't matter. Anything would be less than the Browns winning around here.
Yeah, and they won't, but it'll be a fun year.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that they won't about pretty much every team.
But mostly the Browns.
I mean,
I'm just
good. Joking. The Browns are good.
They're okay, yeah. They're good.
They're real good, depending on what Watson we get.
Well, that's kind of an issue, though, right?
Sure, it's a big issue.
I mean, yeah, dude, their defense is fantastic. They've got great skill players. I'm not shitting on them. They're good. They had a tough break last year. Watson was terrible. Honestly, Flacco was better than him anyway, so Watson's injury made no difference. But the Nick Chubb injury was brutal. They suffered a lot of injuries throughout the year. I get it, man. I get it. I'm just saying, if Watson looks anything like he did last year, they don't have a shot against good football teams.
I agree with that. I'm sure people on your note are pumped about the Eagles here.
But if Jalen Hurts doesn't play any better than last year, they don't have a shot. So,
right. We'll see. But it's so much of more of a question with Watson just because we haven't seen it in so long. So, yeah, I mean, that ultimately will decide what kind of team the Browns are. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Yeah, man. Come on, Tony. You're acting like, what do you think? You just drafted a first ballot Hall of Famer who hasn't taken a snap yet? See it when I believe it, brother. But yes, you actually could be fun this year. It's better than Sam Howell. All right, let's talk some baseball. We'll go pitchers. We'll talk hitters. We're on the deeper dive tonight, too, so we'll do things a little bit differently later. But Luis Castillo has got Minnesota today. Like, this is kind of one of those spots. And by the way, I just can't get over how good this Seattle pitching rotation is. You knew they were going to be good, but they're stellar.
I think they're so live to make a deep, deep playoff run because of this. Now, anything can happen in the baseball playoffs, but we talked about this a few weeks ago. It's not like we were surprising anyone, but they've been even better. You look at their numbers over the past calendar month, it's insane.
It's really good. And Luis Castillo got off to a kind of rocky start this season, but look, how much do you really want to read into something like that? I know I certainly don't. Plus, a lot of the numbers, if you were to look at the underlying numbers, he was certainly better than the results that he was getting. 9,600, I think you could probably make an argument that he's even a little bit underpriced in this matchup, going up against the Twins team that, you know, strikes out at a top 10 clip in baseball. Look, the Twins can make you look bad. There's no doubt about that. But it's objectively a good strikeout spot. And they've still got a couple guys down. They did get Max Kepler back, which is helpful. But in 9,600 for Castillo in this spot, it's hard to get away from that today.
Yeah, I agree. He looks like by far the top pitcher in my eyes. It's a scarier spot than when you face teams like the White Sox and Rockies because, you know, the floor is lower. Because if the Twins get to Castillo, they have power and they can make him pay. It's just a matter of whether they can get to him. And even if they do get to him a little bit, I mean, we've been talking about this since the season started. This Seattle team is just striking out so much. Castillo's or this Minnesota team, both teams, as a matter of fact, this is the matchup that we've kind of been pinpointing all year, both Seattle and Minnesota. Castillo's last three starts in Coors against the Rockies, in Texas against the Rangers, at home against Atlanta. Phenomenal in all three. Again, it's baseball. Anything can happen, but he's the clear number one for me. And I'm with you. Like, if you were 10-5, I think it'd be more of a question, but I still think he would be the easy top guy to get to.
I think so too. It doesn't mean we don't have some other good options on the slate, but like, okay, for example, Walker Buehler's got a matchup against Miami, who just lost Arias. Like, you lost a guy that puts the ball in play, doesn't strike out. This is a bad. Now, granted, I think it was their GM already said, he's like, look, the chances of us making the postseason this year were very slim. So I don't like to use the phrase giving up, because, you know, you're looking towards the future, but they are essentially giving up on the year, right? And this is just not a good team. They have an implied total today, last game on the slate. They have an implied total of 3.3, lowest on the slate as well. The only question here is, like, how deep do you think Buehler goes? His velocity hasn't been back to where it was pre-Tommy John. Not going to lie, though. This Miami team and this total are bad and low enough, respectively, that we can't just gloss over Buehler even at this price point.
No, not even a little bit. When I mentioned, like, teams like the Rockies and White Sox, certainly throw the Marlins in there. The spot is so good for Buehler, and I'm personally such a huge Buehler fan. Like, I think he is the clear second-best pitcher on this slate, right there with Castillo. I'll give the nod to Castillo just because he's done it for longer and Buehler's coming off injury. But I think those guys are the two clear top dogs. Reagans is making the case, but I need to see it for longer. And he gets the Marlins at home. Now, the issues are, as you mentioned, like, he hasn't pitched in two calendar years. Who knows how long his pitch count is going to be, how long they're going to extend him. That said, you know, he's fully stretched out. Like, he's thrown 80 plus pitches a couple times now. He's not as appealing to me as Castillo, but I think the floor is probably even higher than Castillo just because of the matchup. And I think it's more than just not looking past him. It's, can you roster Buehler and Castillo together? I think that's the optimal build as of right now.
You know, the only concern I have is, like, we've seen Dave Roberts go easy on guys, right? Like, he's the type of guy that could just limit him to 75 pitches.
And opposite of what you just said about Miami, how, you know, they've quote unquote given up, and whatever you want to take that as meaning, I'm with it. Like, their GM, they traded their best player, et cetera, et cetera. The Dodgers are the opposite of that. They don't care about a game against the Marlins on May 6th. So if Buehler goes four innings and he's at 60 some pitches, and then he comes out for the fifth and gets into a little bit of trouble, do they just take him out? Maybe. I mean, I'm not going to say likely, but I'm not going to say unlikely either. I think that Buehler comes with more risk than he normally would, for sure. And you don't get any discounts on him, but you got to roster two pitchers on DraftKings, and everyone outside of Castillo really comes with some risk. Even Reagans, there's weather in that game. The Brewers aren't a terrible offense. So I could understand why anyone would want to roster Reagans over Buehler. I think they're close on this slate, though.
Yeah, they are. I do like Cole Reagans in this spot, though. Got to be honest. Like, all right, so obviously the sample size is, you know, you like a little bit more when you're talking about lefties, but still, from Milwaukee, and they haven't really faced many lefties at all, only 200 plate appearances. So I think that's the fewest in baseball by a mile. But 26% strikeout rate, 85 WRC plus. I mean, Reagans also has just done a phenomenal job of limiting righties as well. Like, his stuff is so good that I almost don't care if he's 8,800. Like, this is, at this point, this is a 9K pitcher for sure. He's striking guys out at 20, almost 30%. He doesn't have an alarming walk rate, nothing like that. And, you know, what's the most important thing when you're looking at a left-handed pitcher? Can he go out there and can he limit right-handed bats? He's been perfectly good at that. 3.23 xFIP, 29.6% K rate, 0.3 home runs per nine. Like, those are good numbers. And if that's going to be the case today, I'll more than happily take shots on Cole Reagans. Of course, everybody will. He's going to be 30% owned. There's four guys at 25%+. Andrew Heaney, we'll talk about that being one of them. But Cole Reagans is just too good for me to go, kind of a tough matchup. Because, look, I don't think it's the best matchup, but this is more pitcher-friendly park than anything. than it is hitter friendly. Sure, you know, like triples and stuff at Kauffman are a thing, but he's just good. He's really good. He left last game. He would have closed out that seventh inning, but he left with what was it, calf tightness? He's fine now. 8,800. He's just good, Matt. That's all I can say about him. He's really good.
He's got some reverse splits going too. So, like, I'm not worried about the righties. Yeah, kind of just listening to you. His underlying numbers are the same as his actual numbers, which is a little ironic, but I guess good to see because he's been good. Maybe I'm wrong here. I think maybe Reagans is ahead of Buehler. The weather doesn't look too bad. Like, certainly if I were picking one of these pitchers to start my franchise with, I would personally pick Buehler, but that's not what I'm doing tonight. I'm playing one of them for DFS. So yeah, I think you know what you're going to get out of Reagans as far as pitch count goes. The matchup isn't like elite, but it's not bad. I'm with you. Milwaukee's been better against righties, although, as you also mentioned, haven't faced a ton of left-handed pitching. He's getting owned, but he should be getting owned. And actually looking at the ownership, I guess I'm a little surprised that Buehler's actually projected for similar ownership as the top two guys. A little bit less, but yeah, I guess where the ownership lies right now, like, I'm with you. I think Reagans just looks good. He's a good pitcher. The spot is fine. He's at home. He's probably still too cheap. Yeah, I see this. I get it for sure.
Man, the ownership on Andrew Heaney is...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pretty wild. We have him as the most, by far, most negatively leveraged pitcher on this. We top two pitcher probability on DraftKings, 16.9%, 30% owned, minus 13% leverage. On FanDuel, it's clearly going to be different. Like, he's only pulling 5% at 7,700 on a one-pitcher slate. Luis Castillo on FanDuel at 10-2, getting the bulk of that ownership. And then here's the difference. Like, I would definitely go Buehler over Cole Reagans on FanDuel because he's 8,300. Reagans is 9,500. But if I'm getting the discount on Reagans on DraftKings by $500, knowing that Reagans, like, yeah, assuming he's perfectly fine after that calf soreness or whatever it was, you know he's fully stretched out. You know, he just threw 105 pitches. They would have let him close that out. He would have thrown, what, 110 or whatever it would have been. So I'd say FanDuel and DraftKings are definitely different, but that's pretty obvious to see just looking at the price points.
I agree with you for sure, because the price, you know, tells me so. But I will counter that with Reagans is going to be less owned than Buehler on FanDuel. And on FanDuel, while there's a ton of win equity for Buehler, obviously, you also kind of need the quality start. And I'm not sure he goes six here, although I'm not sure he doesn't go six either. And he's just too cheap. So I do think that there's a counter argument to him being so cheap because of the ownership, et cetera. But ultimately, he's just not an $8,300 pitcher. And yeah, on DraftKings, a little bit surprised at the Heaney ownership. I get it in the sense that if you need a cheap arm, there just aren't options. And he's coming off a good start, pretty sure against Washington. Yeah, he's been decent lately. So I think people are seeing that, seeing this Oakland matchup. He's picking up some love, too much love, though. Oakland's been good over the past, you know, week, too. And I know that's a really small sample size, but so is this entire season as far as sample sizes go. It's all small. So while I'm not buying what Oakland is selling, you know, long term, I don't feel comfortable with a 30% owned Heaney, like, by any means. I'd rather just spend up a little bit and try to get cheap at bat.
I mean, look, even if you like Heaney, I don't think there's any argument that he's the most overowned pitcher on this slate.
Clearly.
Right? He's just... Here's the problem, because in my Sims run, I do have a lot of exposure to Heaney right now, and I'm hard-pressed to go against the Sims recently. Like Chris Paddock the other day, and the Sims, they're not predicting which pitcher is going to be the best. It's it's simming these lineups out tens of thousands of times and telling you, like, based on the ownership and based on what we expect these contests and these lineups to look like, where are the best plays? And even right now, it's still early. We'll do the deeper dive and we'll revisit, or Live Before Lock, we'll revisit this for sure. But right now, the sims are still showing Heaney as somebody that I'm going to get a lot of exposure to. And ultimately, it must just come down to the fact that he's 6,600. Like, the price point there, with Oakland having a 3.6 run implied total. I know they're coming off the other day a 20 run game, which the sims tool fed me a ton of Oakland stacks, and a lot of it fed me a lot of Washington stacks yesterday. So sometimes those ugly looking spots really open some things up, which was huge when you're talking 2 days ago getting to Oakland, Matt, when you could get to like Pablo Lopez and Gossman and Jared Jones and those guys at their price points, and Oakland throws up 20 runs. So, you know, maybe some, and we'll get to some of the stacks, but you might be looking at two expensive pitchers going back to the cheaper stack route, or having Heaney in there a lot as your SP2 on DraftKings and end up being able to get to some more expensive stacks too.
Yeah, you certainly weren't doing anything on Saturday without Jones, Lopez, and that Oakland stack.
At least Gossman, could have been Gossman too. It was those three.
Okay, Gossman also. Right? Jones is amazing.
Yeah.
Wasn't
Lopez, Gossman on the slate?
Wasn't he was. Anything? I just don't remember how good he was.
He actually outperformed Lopez by a couple of fantasy points. Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't realize he was that good. Yeah, I mean, that Oakland game was crazy. Played so late, considering the slate started at 1, ended late. You just needed Oakland that day. And yeah, that's interesting. Like, Heaney's not a bad pitcher. He's been less volatile this year. I do think that just in terms of, like, looking at ownership, there's a pretty easy pivot for me, you know, if you're talking about hand building or playing few, like, only limited lineups. And that's Alex Wood. He's cheaper than Heaney. Similar type pitchers, like, I think Heaney's a little bit better, but not that much. If these spots were reversed and Wood were against the Rangers, or Wood was against the A's and Heaney against the Rangers, ownership would probably be opposite what it is right now. And this Texas team, we saw it yesterday. Again, maybe it changes as they get all their guys back, Josh Jung, etc. They are atrocious against left-handed pitching. Daniel Lynch was one of the best starters on the slate yesterday. He had been horrendous in the minors. Again, not saying that like that's going to play out today, but I do think that that's a pretty logical pivot, especially considering, yeah, Heaney has a 17% chance of being a top two pitcher. Wood has a 13% chance. So I don't know. Pretty interesting to me.
Guess who I have the second most exposure to on this Sims run?
Wow, Wood?
Yeah.
Interesting. So the Sims really likes spending up at bats today.
We're about to get into that for sure. Yeah. Texas, fourth highest K rate versus lefties, almost 350 plate appearances, 23rd in walk rate. So, you know, bottom seven, bottom eight walk rate, 84 WRC plus thus far. Just, you know, speaking to your point, 84 WRC plus is 24th. Even a 121 ISO for this team, not particularly great. That's sitting at 22nd in baseball. So, and a 290 weighted on base average, that is towards the bottom of the league. They're bottom seven in all of those categories, fourth highest strikeout rate. It's still earlier in the year. We're what, like 5-6 weeks into the season? So, you know, not exactly take it with a grain of salt, but things could turn around. Maybe you're on to something. Maybe you are. Maybe there's something here. And look, Alex Wood isn't going to get you feeling good about anything, but he is cheap. What's he at on DraftKings? Because you're not playing him on FanDuel.
5,500.
Damn, dude. He's real cheap.
And I like to think, like, you know, I haven't gone through every game, so I don't know every lefty the Rangers have faced. But, like, if all the lefties they faced were Alex Wood quality, like, he's not a gas can. He's not good, but he's not a gas can. So, like, he's probably the average pitcher right now. So this is the average lefty that the Rangers are going against.
Funny, man. I remember doing these shows like several years ago, and the league average strikeout rate was 20%, 20.5%. League average K rate this year is 23%. It's actually I mean, that's a big number for sure. Woods at 19%, but again, kind of to your point, does it matter? It's $5,500. Texas is definitely favored, but Matt, they only have a 4.1 run implied total.
Yeah, it's obviously a great ballpark for pitching. I mean, I have to go back to yesterday because Lynch was someone I was looking at. Obviously, I ultimately didn't play him, but I mean, this is a guy that really, really struggled in the minors. And we've seen this before. Albert Suarez, Simeon Woods, Richardson, who's on this slate, guys that come up and perform over their head. But, you know, I might think Wood is maybe a little bit better than the field does. I thought you were going to say you remember doing shows a couple years ago and Wood was like a 8 to 9K pitcher. He's never been like an ace, but he's been good throughout times in his career. Like, I don't think there's any question about that.
Oh yeah. I absolutely remember times where I was doing shows and Alex Wood was pretty good. I mean, with the Dodgers back in the day,
right?
Like 16, 17, 18, he was pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. He was, you know, 25% K rate. Not bad. Great comment from Clayton. I'll tell you why. Clayton said, I've gotten some bizarre looking lineups from the Sims lately that have done really well. Funny you say that, Clayton, because I remember back, like, was it NFL season or early basketball season where you were saying you needed to stop tinkering with it and just let it do its thing? So that's awesome to hear that you're getting some wild looking lineups that are doing really well. It's going to happen. Like, there is definitely a learning curve, not on how to use it, but on how to accept it, right? Because when you see, oh, I'm getting a lot of Oakland, I'm getting a lot of Washington today, I'm getting a lot of this, you don't like it, but these are the sim results that are telling you when you sim this out tens of thousands of times, this is what happened. So it's not just like some arbitrary, hey, this could be good. You know, like you see it all the time. Oh, this is a good low-owned play. Well, a low-owned play isn't good just because they're low-owned or cheap. There has to be purpose behind that. There has to be a reason. So when you sim these out like you have, you know, it makes every bit the difference, as you can imagine. By the way, shout out to Poker God 18. I mentioned it. I think it was him. I said it on one of these shows. I was like, the Sims have just been killing showdowns. And anyone who's willing to, you know, build out some showdown lineups after the main has reaped the benefits, both even baseball, but specifically with basketball. PGA, I've been saying it all season. The Sims tool just keeps crushing showdowns. Love it. Took down another one, a new high score for me. So yeah, $10,000 first place win with the NBA Sims for Poker God 18 just the other day. You love to see it. And if you guys ever want, link in the description and in chat, you want to do a week. You can do all access sims, and if you rock the avatar for Stochastic, you're getting a big discount, or just a week of single sport MLB or NBA, a month of it. You're getting, by the way, with Sims Max, you're getting all the tools: ownership, player projections, top stack tool, pitchers tool, top hitters tool, Sims tool, lineup generator, our premium Discord, all of that stuff. But yeah, more than well, we'd love you guys to check it out, join the family, even if it's just for a week. Jump in and see if this works for you, because I can tell you'd be building better lineups than you have by hand, and you'll have a lot of fun with it as well. The tools are great. Or you just want to get in at a lesser expensive cost. The lineup generator is a great price. You can do that for the week. Generate lineups, upload them straight to CSV, make swaps, lock players in, and see how optimal your lineup is. See how chalky or contrarian it is. Set your stack types. We got something for everyone. So if you ever have any questions, my DMs are always open on Twitter. Anyway, I think you get real ugly with some of these guys once you get a little bit cheaper. But the crazy thing is there's still a lot of them pulling ownership on a six gamer. Like Kyle Gibson at 7,300 is still getting ownership. Simeon Woods Richardson against Seattle is getting ownership. Alex Woods only 11. Some of these guys are still pulling some ownership. Yu Darvish at 20% against the Cubs. Let's talk about that range, not price range, but that like 10 to 20 ownership range. Is there anyone that stands out to you as under or over owned, or someone you're just getting to?
You know, it's interesting, as you kind of alluded to, there's only four pitchers on this slate projected for under 10% ownership. So everyone is getting love. I don't really like the Darvish here at 8,400. I do think you could make a case he's a little too cheap. The matchup's okay. Really good weather in that game, though, for pitchers. So maybe that's why he's projected to pull a little more ownership than I would have expected. Gibson, right in line with his top two pitcher percentage. I wonder if when Locke actually hits and you know, ownership actually comes to fruition, if some of this Gibson and Darvish ownership just goes to Castillo and Raggins. And Heaney, maybe not, but I wouldn't be surprised if it does.
You think so?
Yeah, I just personally, I think Castillo and Raggins look so much better than those guys. Now, it is a price thing, though. So Darvish is, I just couldn't imagine playing Darvish here at basically the same price as Cole Raggins.
Yeah. I mean, he is discounted relatively significantly from Castillo and Cole Raggins, but, or from Castillo and Walker Buehler. But yeah, not a ton from Cole Raggins at all. It's like, what, a $400 difference? He has, it's tough. I don't disagree that Yu Darvish feels like the odd man out here. He does. Trying to see how much I'm getting. So I mentioned I'm getting a lot of Heaney and Wood. I haven't looked at stack exposures yet for me. I favored the amount of lineups I'm going to play. We're going to look at this. We're going to look at stack exposures in a second. But Heaney and Wood, a little bit shocking. But then Castillo and Reagans are my two highest owned pitchers outside of that. To your point, I'm getting virtually no Buehler and virtually no Yu Darvish. I have five pitchers of 25% or higher. One of them is actually Woods Richardson. The other from lower to higher ownership exposure will be Reagans, Castillo, Wood, and Heaney. And then it drops off a cliff. Next highest owned guy right now that I have is 8% Kyle Gibson.
Yeah, the discount to Gibson's pretty nice. So I don't hate that. It's okay to not great matchup. Mets don't strike out a ton. They're also not that scary. I don't love Gibson here, but I think he's kind of just a placeholder. He makes it work. He's not going to win you the slate. He probably won't lose it for you. So he just is a guy, a cog in the machine type that ownership is right in line with his top 2%. So I don't really feel strongly either way about him.
Last guy before we get into some bats for today. Where are you at on Sean Manaea?
I am surprised that between like Gibson and Darvish, he's priced between them and he's getting no ownership. Again, I don't like using lefties against the St. Louis team because while the Cardinals aren't good, they do set up and profile much better against lefties.
They've been terrible against lefties this year. I don't know how long that lasts, but 67 WRC plus, 259 WOBA.
Yeah, and their best players who were notoriously lefty masters just look dusty now. Arenado and Goldie. So, yeah, it's just interesting to me that he's getting no ownership while guys like Darvish, Woods Richardson, Gibson are. And we just saw yesterday, Garrett Crochet went into St. Louis at no ownership and smashed. So I don't expect that type of game from Manaea, but I would have absolutely no problem pivoting from a Gibson or a Woods Richardson to get to Manaea here. That said, I don't love this range. I like the top guys a lot. And if I'm not going to get to Castillo or Raggins or Buehler, just let me go down to Heaney or Wood.
I don't think I disagree. Plus, the walks have been a serious issue for Manaea. Like, he has a 14% walk rate this year. He's just walking a ton of batters. And St. Louis, despite not being good, is still drawing walks at a 10% clip against lefties. The thing that sucks about Manaea at that price point, it's like if you're going to be issuing the free passes and running up pitch counts as much as you are, how deep can we rely on you to pitch into a game? You know, he did go six scoreless. He had a great start to open up the year against Detroit, but then five innings, 3 2/3, 5, 4 2/3, 5. He hasn't gotten past the fifth inning in five starts. That's my only thing. Like, how deep can he go?
Yeah, it's a good call. I'm not sure. And that's part of the reason I don't love him. The only thing that makes him stand out is the ownership. And you can make the same case for Justin Steele at 9K, obviously more expensive. But I think that's where Manaea and Steele interest me is just in the ownership perspective, not because of the matchups they're in or who they are. It's just relative to other guys that I think are similar that are getting much more ownership. Last guy I want to ask you about, and again, I know that why would you want to pick on the Dodgers? And the Dodgers, I'm sure, are the stack that Sims are spitting out to you, you know, getting to Wood and Heaney, et cetera. But Rodri Munoz has been fantastic through two starts. And I don't like him here and wasn't looking at him, but he has a 10% chance of being a top two pitcher on this slate and only 2% ownership. So again, like, I don't think that that's crazy. Just in the grand scheme of MLB DFS, I don't think it works out, but I don't think it's crazy.
You know, the issue I have, the concern that I have is like, how is this happening? He has a 34% K rate through these two starts, but then you look at his double A and triple A numbers, he is like 22% strikeout guy. I mean, am I supposed to believe that this is going to last?
No.
92% strand rate through two starts, 136 BABIP. His xFIP's 270. Like, he has been good. But the 10% there, maybe it's just because it's a six-game slate. But shit, dude, it's going up against the Dodgers. They have a 5.5 run implied total on this slate. He faced the Cubs, had a pretty decent start, gave up two homers, but they were both solo shots. Then had a home matchup against the Rockies, and we know about them. That is concerning to me, honestly. Like, what do we have the implied total for the Dodgers at in the top stacks tool?
We have it as 5.5.
5.5, yeah. 5.5. One,
and I like to say this sometimes, like, if I didn't know anything about MLB and I was just looking at the tools to build the lineup, I'm not saying I would use Munoz here, but I would have a lot of interest. The fact that he's facing the Dodgers wouldn't mean anything to me. And the tools imply that he's a really good play at no ownership. So I don't think he's a building block. He's still second lowest guy in the top pitchers tool, but the 10% chance is still there. That said, though, like, I do know MLB and I do know what Munoz has done in the minors and that this matchup is just so brutal. So ultimately, I think the Dodgers are the top stack on the slate. So I won't play Munoz, but the tools show him as at least interesting.
I get it. A strikeout prop, 4.5 with heavy juice to the under. I'm looking at our tools on Odd Shopper where we're giving you the true odds and, you know, market-based approach. We have the true odds under 4.5 strikeouts at -152. So I get what you're saying. Boy, this is a different spot for sure.
Oof.
Difficult spot than he's had. Anyway, we also had a free super chat from Einsteinia, a member of 15 months. What's up, brother? Is the matchup really suppressing steel? I think it's twofold, Einsteinia. One, yeah, the matchup isn't particularly good. Let me see what the weather is. Is the weather?
Weather's great for pitchers.
In Chicago? Okay. Yeah, but the second thing is that you, aside from the matchup, he's making his first start since what? His opening day start of the year, where he went 4 2/3, injured his hamstring, threw 63 pitches in his final rehab outing. At that price point at 9,000, do you want to pay 9K for a guy that's limited probably to like 80 pitches in a not great matchup? That's why it's being suppressed. There's not a lot of meat on the bone there.
Yeah, this is another one, like kind of like Munoz. If I just looked at the tools and didn't know anything else, Steele would stand out. He's got a 15% chance of being a top two pitcher, 5% ownership. But I do know all the stuff you just mentioned, and I have trouble getting to him because of that.
Talk some bats.
Let's do it.
By the way, I mentioned it at the top of the show. Very passionate about this. I'm not the type of guy that is going to post every best ball draft with every exposure throughout the year. Nobody wants to see that. I talk about it. It's fun. I'll tweet some lineups that I think are fun, but I'm not going to do that to you, right? Either way, if you're not in on Underdog yet, I don't really know where you've been. They got the daily pick'em contest where you can up to 20X your entry, right? Especially if you're in non-legal betting states. They've got massive best ball contests, not just for football, but a ton of sports. They've got daily drafts for baseball, hockey, basketball, all of that. Dude, the daily drafts for football are awesome. Like the Sunday only or the, you know, the Thursday night, like there's so many different things that they do over there. The formats are endless. Even if you're in Florida, they have a format that, you know, that is in line with the laws that you have there. So $100 first match deposit bonus, instant, right? So you put 100, you got 200 in instantly. They even airdrop. They've been airdropping money into people's bankrolls and shit who are playing over there lately. Like, it's all, yeah, it's awesome. It's really cool. So jump in, man. Even if you're waiting to get in on the best ball contest, they've got so much more going on up until the start of the season for basketball, baseball, football, all of it. No rants. It is not awful. It's entirely fun. Anybody who knows anything about fantasy football knows, like, the season and the in-game management, at least me, far less fun than drafting. Like, drafting is by far the most fun. And now you're telling me I can draft as many damn lineups as I want with a shot at winning over $1 million? Yes, please. I will do so. Anyway, check it out. Link in the description and in chat. $100 first match deposit bonus. They do a lot of free squares, particularly if you're new over there as well. But just the coolest place to play right now, hands down. Anyway, let's talk some bats. No surprise, LA Dodgers, highest top stack probability. 16.9%. That's 7% higher. They're 6% higher than any other team on this slate. Everything you said about Munoz is legitimate. Like, I can't argue it because the tools are showing us, like, hey, listen, he's under-owned. But that does not mean the Dodgers stacks don't look extraordinary today, especially against the guy Munoz, who in two starts has already coughed up two home runs. But also, even at the minor league level, like this year, 2.3 home runs per night, only 15 and two-thirds innings pitched. He got rocked, though. Four home runs there. Guy has given up home runs. He has coughed up fly balls at a high enough clip. This is a spot where the Dodgers also look very good.
Oh, yeah. It's an elite spot for the Dodgers. I'm definitely not buying what Munoz is selling. I mean, I think that he's much more likely to get blown up than have another really good start like he just did against Colorado. I don't project him to be good going forward. This Dodgers lineup is amazing. I'm actually a little surprised they don't even have a higher top stack percentage. And again, my only case for Munoz was that he's under-owned per the tools. Like, nothing to do with him himself, obviously the matchup. So I think the Dodgers look amazing here. They're going to be the highest owned team on the slate. So, you know that going in. But, man, this lineup is just insane. Like, we know how good Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman are. Muncy's coming off a three-homer game on Saturday. Teoscar Hernandez homered yesterday. Will Smith is probably the best hitting catcher in baseball, at least, you know, him, Real Muto, Rutschman, all three of those guys. Actually, catcher's really, really deep right now, side note. It just is. There's a lot of good catchers. But Will Smith's right at the top of that list. And they should make Munoz pay here. I mean, he's not good. This Marlins team is not good. Their bullpen isn't good. It's hard to fade the Dodgers. Again, ownership is there, so probably want to get different somewhere in your lineups, but ownership isn't crazy. They have a 17% chance of being the top stack on the board, 15% ownership. I'm sure in like single entry, higher dollar stuff, they'll be higher owned, but they should be. I mean, this is why the Sims is pushing out Wood and Heaney, I would imagine.
Because of the Dodgers, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no question. No arguments there whatsoever. But at the same time, some of these other spots actually look pretty good, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Like, I know Seattle's popular and they're slightly negatively leveraged, but that isn't really affecting them in our top stack still. We still have them with the third best stack score going up against Simeon Woods Richardson. And you know why? Because while they are ever so slightly overowned, they're also not expensive. So, like, you're getting these Seattle bats at a price that you're not paying a premium. Outside of Julio Rodriguez, who do you have to pay for? Nobody. And, like, sure, it's not the best park in the world, but it's better than T-Mobile Park playing in Minnesota. That's a spot. Also, just to throw this out there, against Simeon Woods Richardson, are you really concerned about Simeon Woods Richardson, a career minor league pitcher? He's had a couple decent starts, but also look at the matchups that Woods Richardson has had. And I'm not saying that this is the, you know, I'm not saying this is the 2023 Braves he's going up against today, but He's faced Detroit, White Sox, and White Sox, and didn't get out of the fourth inning last time out.
Yeah, I like the Mariners a lot here. I'm right with you. Maybe my personal top stack on the board. I'm definitely not buying Woods Richardson. The matchups have been great for him. He's another one of these guys that pitching way over his head, I imagine it falls off sooner rather than later. Yeah, they're a little bit overowned, but as you said, like, not really relevant as far as their stack score. They still look one of the best, like one of the best offenses on the slate. The only thing I don't love about Seattle is you've got a bunch of pitchers pulling ownership on this slate. Woods Richardson isn't really one of them, so you don't get leverage there. But just as far as how good they look as a stack and pairing them with a Reagans and a Castillo build, man, I love them. Even Julio, like 5K, he's the most expensive. That's cheap for him. Everyone else is either 4K or under, I believe. Polanco, Cal Raleigh. This lineup is really easy to stack, and they're in a good spot. I like them a lot.
You want to hear something crazy? You'll appreciate this. So I was very curious to see what my pitcher exposures would look like in my Seattle five-man stacks, right? Because I'm looking at stack exposures right now. And let's see. I have, among five-man stacks, Seattle's my highest-owned team of five-man stacks. Overall stack exposure is the Dodgers because I'm getting a lot of three-mans and five-mans. But the highest five-man stacks are the Mariners. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, but how many people are going to just play the Mariners stack and then jam in Castillo and Reagans or Castillo and Buehler? So I'm looking at all of these, and I've gotten through like 12 of them so far. None of them have two expensive pitcher pairings. Matter of fact, some of them even have Heaney and Wood. And what they are, you'll like this. They're like 5-3, excuse me, Mariner-Dodger stacks, 4-3 Mariner-Dodger stacks with the cheaper pitchers. That might be a unique approach today, just knowing that so many people are going to stack Seattle and try to jam Castillo and Cole Reagans or Castillo and Buehler.
I totally agree. I also think a maybe not unique build, but getting a little different is spending down at both pitcher, Heaney and Wood, and like fully stacking the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers will be owned in mini stacks as one-offs. I don't think a lot of people are going to sacrifice everywhere else to get the Betts, Otani, Freeman, Smith, and Muncy or whatever it is, like however their lineup shakes out. So I'm with you. Like, I like that build where maybe you don't spend up at both pitchers, so then your lineup looks like everyone else's. You spend down at one and then you can get to whatever you want elsewhere. Because to that point, like, yes, yeah, Seattle is easy to fit with Reagans and Castillo, but you're limited to what you can do elsewhere. Like, Seattle isn't 2K cheap. They're just average pricing. So if you load them up with Castillo and Reagans, you probably have 3,500 to 4K to build for your last spot. You don't have 5K.
Right. Man, Seattle Dodgers stacks with, you can also do it, but with like one expensive pitcher.
Which was your point, and I like that a lot.
Yeah, it's doable. Let's see. But the more I'm looking, yeah, okay, so here's one like Seattle. No, that's not, because it's a 2-2. Yeah, most of the Seattle Dodgers stacks have pretty much two cheap pitchers. Look, that's risky. There's no doubt about it. That's risky. But the Sims are telling you in a spot like this, hey, this is where the leverage, this is where the actual upside to win a tournament is. It's really that simple, you know? Most people are going to go too expensive pitchers with Seattle. It's too easy to do. And guess what, Matt? If I were hand building, I'd probably do the same thing, because in your head, it just makes too much sense.
And it's not even just Seattle. Like, Oakland's easy to stack in those type of lineups. And I'm interested in Oakland here, especially against the popular Heaney. The Mets are easy to do that with. They're in a good spot. So a lot of these teams are pretty easy to stack with the expensive pitching. The only reason Heaney is getting love today is because of the Dodgers. It has to be.
Yeah, you're right. It's the only reason. Because where are the other, like, truly good expensive stacks?
There aren't. Like, there just aren't. I mean, San Diego is a good offense. We know that, but they're in Chicago against Justin Steele. They're not going to get ownership. Like, they'll be low owned, you know, maybe they come in 5 to 10% owned like our tools have, but they're not going to be the 15 to 20 like the Dodgers are. There just aren't other really good expensive teams that you want to load up on today. The only other one, and they're not uber expensive like the Dodgers, and I know I talked all this shit about how bad they've been against left-handed pitching, there still is some interest in Texas for me, especially if the field's just going to back off them and go to the Dodgers even more.
Yeah. I mean, Kansas City is the spot against Bryce Wilson that also looks very good in our tools.
Will people go to Seattle or Kansas City first? I'm not sure.
I want to say Seattle.
I like Seattle more.
But they're both getting nearly identical ownership.
Yeah, ownership, I feel like on this slate, doesn't matter too much outside of the Dodgers. The Dodgers are going to be the highest owned team, whatever they come in at. And then everyone else will get ownership aside from Miami and Minnesota. Like, Miami and Minnesota won't get any ownership comparatively, but everyone else will be somewhat owned.
If you had to go with your three favorite stacks right now, who would it be? Like, I have a feeling for you, it's not going to be Texas. You don't like what you're seeing from them against lefties. Dodgers still have to be. For me, it probably is Dodgers, Seattle. And then the question is, like, do you get weird with Oakland against Heaney? I am getting a good amount of Milwaukee, which scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, they look way better in the tools than I would have imagined. We've seen this a couple times. And yeah, I think that while I wouldn't have them in my top three right now, they're the most leveraged team on the slate outside of Miami. So that's worth something. Texas is not going to be a top three for me. If the tools had them as like the overall top stack and ownership wasn't there at all, maybe my stance would change, but that's not the case. So I'm going to go the Dodgers as number one, even if I don't love the ownership. Then Seattle. Then I'm going to go the Mets. Like, they look good as far as ownership goes, top stack percentage, value. I'm going to go with the Mets.
I like it. Yeah, and then, you know, one team we didn't talk about, we don't need to, is Minnesota. Like, even if you wanted to try and get sneaky with them against Castillo, they have the lowest top value percentage on the slate in our tools, and rightfully so. So what, you have to pay a premium for them in a bad matchup against a good pitcher? I don't see it.
I don't see it either. The only thing I'll say about that, though, is if you're stacking Minnesota, you're not using Castillo, and he's, like, the only expensive pitcher. So it's not going to be hard to fit them, but like, why are you trying to sell your souls just to use Minnesota against Seattle? I'm with you.
Yeah, for sure. Kansas City, though, you know, they've been league average this season against righties. They're not striking out. What's nice about them, though, about this Kansas City team, Matt, 161 ISO for the Kansas City Royals this year. Like, they have proven that they've got some pop in some of these bats. And that's what we're looking for, right? Like, that's what we want going up against Bryce Wilson. That's exactly what I'm looking for. So, yeah, I'll keep it relatively simple, and I don't even mind doing it. Dodgers, Seattle, Kansas City, because the lineups I'm getting right now are just so wildly differentiated by how I'm approaching pitching in these cheaper lineups, in these cheaper stacks, that I don't feel like it's a problem.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Because as you kind of said a couple minutes ago, there's no really expensive stack besides the Dodgers. They're the only ones that really you have to, you know, break the bank to get. Kansas City does look good to me. Their lineup has been lengthened a little bit. They got Michael Massey back last week. He was good last year, good prospect for them. He's been on fire recently. I know he didn't do anything yesterday, but like 65 fantasy points in the four games prior. That's decent. I like Kansas City here. They look a lot like Seattle to me. I'm not sure which one I would prioritize if the slate locked right now. Kind of happy it doesn't.
And Eric mentioned to keep an eye on weather for this game. Yeah, Matt mentioned that at the beginning. If you're coming in late, Matt did mention it, but good call. Yes, pay attention to weather in this Milwaukee-Kansas City game. Looks like midway to later on in the game could be an issue as far as weather is concerned. So you know, things change from now until then. So we'll see what the forecast looks like. But yes, this could be a spot where you get a little, I mean, dude, if rain is supposed to move in heavy, you know, fourth, fifth inning, then you and I are going to have a shit ton to talk about on Live Before Lock tonight, because you're going to have the second highest owned pitcher in Cole Reagans becoming a whole lot less owned than he is right now earlier in the morning.
100%. I do think that as of right now, at least, weather's just a precaution. Like, I would play this game as of right now. So I wanted to just mention it, but it's not one that I'm like overly concerned with.
Top three pitchers.
I went in thinking it would definitely be Castillo, Buehler, Reagans in that order, but it's not. It's definitely Castillo, Reagans, and then maybe Alex Wood. Just everything considered, ownership, price, leverage against Heaney. I love Buehler as a pitcher, and I could certainly see him dominating here, but at any sign of trouble, I just don't think they're going to extend him. He hasn't pitched for 2 years, so I don't think I'll get to him tonight. How about you?
Yeah, I'll rely on the tools right now with what they're giving me. And so much of it is just lineup dependent. We went over what the stacks look like, how the cheap pitchers are paired with expensive stacks, but also cheap pitchers paired with cheap stacks, and then getting like three-man Dodgers stacks in there, making things look a whole lot different. It's still Castillo and Reagans for me. But yeah, you have to at this point, even if he looks over-owned being Andrew Heaney against Oakland, Andrew Heaney and Alex Wood, 6,600, 5,500 respectively on DraftKings. It's hard to get away from. Like, if you're talking FanDuel, we can close the show with this. If you're talking FanDuel, it is so much different. Like, the argument for an Alex Wood at 6,800 or Heaney at 7,700 is so much less convincing than it is on DraftKings on a two-pitcher site at 66 and 5,500. On FanDuel, the clear, obvious top play is Luis Castillo. And then it's a matter of, like, at similar ownership, would you rather take the savings on Walker Buehler in his first start since 2022 at the major league level, or pay up for Cole Reagans? And those are by far, without question, the three best pitching options. And ownership bears that out in a big way. The most positively leveraged option is Simeon Woods Richardson, just because he's getting 3%, but that doesn't make him a great play.
No, he's way higher in the tools than I would have expected on both sites. It's just got to be a matchup thing. Like, Seattle strikes out a ton. I mean, I used Hunter Brown yesterday, who wasn't good, but got a bunch of strikeouts. Simeon Woods Richardson, I will say, you mentioned him earlier, and the Sims aren't spitting him out for you, which I'm happy with. He does kind of remind me of Paddock the other day, where it's like, why would you play him? But Seattle strikes out so much that it's like, I get it.
Yeah. The only difference is that we were getting a ton of Paddock in the Sims, right? and the lineup generator. They were force feeding us Paddock. Yeah.
Ultimately, that's a big, like, that's the difference. It's not a, like, that is why I don't like it here, you know?
Right. Because there's more underlying than just like, oh, he's low owned, you know?
Sure.
Hey, by the way, I saw somebody mention that in chat. Who was it? Eric said, looks like they recently moved the game up. Yeah. So I'm seeing it now. DraftKings hasn't accounted for this yet, but on MLB.com, this game is now 7:10. They moved it up 30 minutes. So it really does look like they should have if they're moving it up 30 minutes, they think they're going to be able to get this game in right before the rain comes down.
Yeah, it was already, I love that move as far as this game playing goes. The reports were already is that they thought they would get into around the seventh inning. So at that point, I already really wasn't worried about Reagans, but now even better.
Hey guys, appreciate you hanging out as always. If you don't mind, tap that thumbs up before you go. And if you're listening in podcast form, leave a rating and a review. It goes a long way. We enjoy those very much so. We will be back for Live Before Lock. Got NBA Live Before Lock tonight. You got playback. If you're trying to hang out, it's totally free. You can sign up down below, watch some games, watch some basketball, hang out, enjoy yourselves throughout the night as we sweat these games if you're not doing anything else. Follow Matt at Fantasy Tips, Matt, me at Lafayette_D. We'll see you back here later tonight. MLB Live Before Lock. Peace.